Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Last week, we took the week off because of the holiday of Memorial Day. Me and my wife did some things to make the weekend enjoyable for us. So I'm sorry for the inconvenience of MWCR not being here, but we wanted to enjoy that weekend and the weather, too, because it was just absolutely perfect here in Albuquerque. But the show is back this week with a good lineup of news that has to be told, even though the lamestream lying media won't, like Pfizer wants the world depopulation, and it is shown from its own documents. And I've got an article here somewhere in my stack of stuff from Vigilant Fox that says Dr. Naomi Wolf uncovers Pfizer's depopulation agenda as evidenced by its own documents. But the things that we're going after right now more or less has to do with Biden because of what he has been doing. But one of the latest is that Biden takes a nasty fall on Air Force Academy graduation stage. And there are videos all over the place. If you haven't seen it, you're not watching the right networks, go to Newsmax. They'll show you it. And it was a pretty bad fall. He fell on the stage, couldn't get up, had to have help getting back up. And it actually sounded like he got applause for falling. But folks, we have to look at this in a different way than the media is. The media is just kind of downplaying the whole thing. They're not doing a damn thing about it. They're just kind of downplaying the whole thing. But Eric Bolling said it best on his show last night when he was talking about this. This is scary, folks. We have a man that, it's like Eric Bolling said, he doesn't like the man. I don't like the man, but I don't want him to be hurt. We cannot have a world leader like Biden, even though he's not much of a leader. We cannot have a world leader fall and hurt himself. And it seems like these falls are coming more and more and more often all the time. I mean, he's tripped up the stairs to Air Force One. He's tripped down the stairs from Air Force One. He tripped while in China or Japan or one of over there, tripped down concrete steps. That could have had a dire consequences. He could have lost a president for that. Now, I know that you on the left, when somebody on the right has problems like this, that you rejoice when they die, you rejoice when they get hurt. And there is the difference between conservatives like me and liberals who wish death on everybody who doesn't agree with them. What is going on now with the media covering for all of these things that are happening with Biden and his administration covering for all of these things that are happening? What's going on here is elder abuse. Complete and absolute elder abuse. He could fall and hurt himself. He could fall and kill himself. Get an 80 some odd year old man and have him have a fall. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pleasant. There are dire consequences to this. And we have to put a stop to this. Because if we don't, folks, it could get very, very bad. But it's unclear if the 80-year-old president was speaking on a platform and stumbled while stepping down or tripped over his own feet on a flat surface. While Biden has a bit of well-documented history of struggling with the stairs of Air Force One, those mistakes generally happen in the dark while climbing stairs. Over 2 years ago, in March of 2021, Biden's health first came under the steering spotlight when he struggled multiple times getting up the steps of Air Force One. In February of this year, the president again struggled to maintain his footing and balance while boarding Air Force One, this time in Poland. Perhaps most infamously, Biden came under fire in June of 2022 when he fell over on a bicycle that was completely stationary. That could have been bad. Unlike those previously documented instances, the Air Force graduation snafu can't be explained away by it being dark, involving multiple steps, or coming on a bicycle. The incident will likely raise some eyebrows when the president can seldom afford for that to occur. So is Biden fit for presidency? No, he's not. Biden is seeking a second presidential term and re-election in 2024, is already facing an uphill battle in the terms of popularity before his age and physical well-being are even considered. That's not to say Biden doesn't already have detractors concerned about his age. In fact, this Air Force incident occurred on the heels of Biden's own deep blue hometown, Scranton, Pennsylvania, being publicly torn on his candidacy because of his age and mental fitness. Biden and the White House had not commented on the incident as early as Thursday afternoon. Folks, we have to start figuring out what is going on here, because if we don't, we could very well lose the president, even though he's not one that we like, even though he's not one that's done any good. But we have to start realizing that something is going on here and he needs to be protected. This is elder abuse that's going on. I'm glad that you guys are here today. Welcome to the show.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to
say. Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and thought Mexicans raped us and murdered. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said that we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are back. One of the things that I wanted to talk about this week, this, to start off anyway, is all of these falls that Biden has taken over the last year and a half, and there's been many of them. But we have to start looking at this. You know, the media is complicit in what is going on. It's like one of the articles that I found today is media treats Biden gently after fall. They treat him gently after the falls. Are they doing him a disservice by doing this? I think so, because they're hiding the fact that he is having troubles staying on his feet or staying on a bicycle or going down steps or going up steps or even just walking on level ground. One of these times he's going to fall, like he did at the Air Force Academy, and he's going to really hurt himself. Then we're going to end up with Kamala Harris. Will that be good? No. But we have to start looking at this in the same way and start looking at it that he's going to hurt himself. He has to be taken care of. This idea that the press is allowing him to just do willy-nilly, do whatever he wants, and then when he falls, they don't report on it. They handle it with kid gloves. His administration is doing exactly the same thing. They're treating this with kid gloves and saying, oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. What if he falls and breaks his hip? Or breaks a leg or breaks his neck, for God's sakes. These are things we have to start looking at. He's 80-some years old now. If your father took a fall at the same age as Biden is, took a fall like Biden did the other day, would you be worried? Of course you would. It would be a bad thing if you weren't worried. But nobody seems to be worried about this. As a matter of fact, like I said before, when he fell, it seemed like in the video, it seemed like he got applause for that. What kind of thinking is this? Now, we can always say, well, we're hoping that he falls and hurts himself so he can't be president anymore. Well, that's not the way to think about it. I know the Democrats will think about it that way. As a matter of fact, they've even gone after Trump on one of the campaign ads that they've got out now, where it shows Biden saying, oh, I got to run everywhere. I got to run to save this nation. I got to run this. I got to run this. While other people take their time going down steps and they show Trump. Who's the one who's falling here? The one who seems to be running everywhere. His upper body seems to be really going, but his legs are walking. That's a good way to fall. And he's been falling, folks. That one in over in the Middle East, when he was over there to the Chinese leader or the Japanese leader or whatever it was, and he tripped down those concrete steps, that could have turned out really bad. And it's like Eric Bolling said the other night, this is elder abuse. We've got to start taking care of him or he's going to hurt himself to the point where maybe he might not be here anymore. And he keeps joking and saying, oh, I got sandbagged. I got this or I got that or I tripped or something. But it happens way too often for it to be just an accident. It happens way too often. And I don't know, folks. We have to start seeing what is going on because the media right now is hiding it. The White House is hiding it. And there's all kinds of things going on here that just are really bad. And it's not just all Biden falling. It's like another one that I was looking at was, to fully understand Biden's border crisis, you have to consider 7 details. Migrants attempting to illegally enter the United States from Mexico are detained by U.S. Customs and Border Protection at the border on May 6th in San Luis, Arizona. And the picture showed a whole bunch of them standing there. The free-for-all America has witnessed at the southern border, 5 million encounters and 1.5 million gotaways, has been ongoing for the last 30 months. Many books have been written about the series of policy decisions and plain old gross negligence that has led to the daily chaos. Indeed, the storylines are limitless, given the width and the depth of this travesty. But are these specific subplots worthy of special consideration by those attempting to fully understand how we ended up here? Herein follows 7 of those storylines. Number 1, on the heels of the scheduled lapse of Title 42 pandemic health restriction, the Biden Department of Homeland Security released more than 1,100 migrants with criminal records into the country. Besides releasing criminals and those facing criminal charges, Border Patrol had inexplicably been instructed to refrain from making additional arrests. We will likely never know how many additional crimes have been committed by the emancipated offenders. 2, in May, the New York Times, of all the media, reported on the widespread exploitation of migrant children who had been released to adults by an overburdened and underfunded immigration system. The report, generally ignored by other establishment media outlets in light of its unproductive narrative, nevertheless, a broken system allowed thousands of young children to be employed in dangerous workplaces without consequence. Hell, Sarge, good to see you there. One can imagine, recall the outrage over children in cages, remember that one? What would have unfolded had the same circumstances occurred under the Trump administration? Number 3, as reflected above, the Biden administration's reversal of Trump-era border policy protections led to plenty of bad press and bad numbers. One response from DHS was to create a new initiative in order to manipulate the real numbers for the general public. A case in point was a trumpeted parole program that allowed 30,000 migrants a month from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela to apply for permission to enter while living in their home country. So they didn't even have to come here to apply. Applicants were supposed to have U.S. sponsors who would support them financially. When a significant drop in individuals from those countries showing up at the border occurred, the administration claimed success. 4, recall the established media going nuclear after video footage emerged of Border Patrol agents on horseback allegedly using whips to control migrants and seeking to cross the border at Del Rio, Texas. That was debunked, but they still talk about it. Here is the perfect narrative for an uber woke media, racist law enforcement using brutal tactics against helpless asylum seeking migrants. Democrats in Congress and immigration groups piled on. Never to be out demagogued, President Joe Biden promised, those agents will pay. Although investigation revealed that horse reins were not utilized during the unprecedented surge of approximately 15,000 Haitians at the International Bridge. But at least one agent had used denigrating language during the melee. So what? Yep, all that moral indignation over one agent's use of inappropriate language during a tense border encounter. How many of us have said something that we wish we hadn't in a tense situation? I'll wager almost every one of us have. I know I have. You just have these things happen, and then your mind is fixated on what is going on. Something else bad happens, and you explode. This happens, folks. 5. Recall the panic when your parents showed up unannounced at the front door of your college dorm. You immediately instructed your roommates to hold them off until your room could be made at least minimally respectful. Such is the modus operandi Border Patrol is ordered to follow whenever dignitaries visit the Biden-era southern border. Remember that one? Biden came down there and they cleaned the whole thing up. It looked like it was spick and spanned before he even got there. After he left, it went back to normal, trash everywhere, all over the place. The agency's inspector general found that the dress-up was intended to create the illusion of preparedness for any forthcoming surge, and that post-visit, the scene would return to everyday overcrowding and general chaos. The IG further found that Border Patrol had and Immigration and Customs Enforcement were stretched beyond reason because the agencies had been level funded despite their widely expanded scope of mission. And hello there, for think for yourself. Good to see you there. Number 6. And this was written by, get his name. Written for Western Journal, and it doesn't give the guy's name who wrote it. But number 6, it says, my wife, former deputy drug czar under Trump, will tell you in detail how fentanyl was principally delivered through the mail during the early days of the Trump administration. And let's see, where was I here? She will further tell you that Trump made it his business to tell President Xi Jinping to stop it, which he did. On May 1st, 2019, Xi fulfilled his commitment to the G20 to formally control all forms of fentanyl as a class of drugs, which was all good until Biden administration decided to open the border and thereby launch a whole new era wherein fentanyl precursors are transported from China to labs in Mexico and then trafficked through ports of entry into the U.S. Results are as expected. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that 107,375 people died of a drug overdose poisoning in 2021 and that 67% of those deaths involved synthetic opioids such as fentanyl. 7. A variety of horrific consequences followed the end of Title 42, but the symbolism attached to the forced vacating of Middletown, New York hotels by 24 homeless Vietnam vets to make room for illegal migrants may be the most powerful. Note that the struggling vets were transferred to a more inconvenient venue in the light of their treatment needs. Here, illegal immigrants or migrants or invaders, call it what you will, were prioritized per the standard practice of the Biden DHS, such as the adverse impact of woke-inspired immigration policy, shameful and embarrassing to this great country. Just a few additional anecdotes to add to your Biden-era angst, and there appears to be no end in sight. Sorry about that. And all of this is stuff that you will not see in the mainstream media. You will not see it in the legacy media, as they now want to be called. You will not see it anywhere except for the sites that I will read from, like Western Journal, Newsmax, One America News, Blaze, Pinion Post News here in New Mexico. There are so many things going on now that the media is not even talking about, and every bit of it is bad for this country. Every bit of what they will not talk about is bad for this country, and when they will talk about it, that's not good for the country either. They have a complete agenda to destroy this country, to destroy the Constitution, to destroy our laws, and destroy everybody who's following the laws. And then we have that thing I started to talk about earlier about Dr. Naomi Wolf uncovering Pfizer's depopulation agenda. And this came from their own documents. There is so much going on in this country right now that should blow all of our minds and make us wonder just where sanity went and how long ago it left. Because you talk things that are absolute truths, and the media and the left in this country, and sadly, many of on the right will call you a bad guy because you have the audacity to tell the truth, especially when the truth doesn't help them. I'm coming up on my half hour, on my 30-minute break, so I'm going to go ahead and take the break now, and I will be right back.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. Many of our veterans deal with significant personal issues on a daily basis. These can include any combination of combat-related, medical, or psychological issues, as well as stress from transitioning out of a highly structured environment. It is our hope that through our familiarity with these struggles, we can use our experiences and connections to help these vets move forward in a positive direction and enjoy a fulfilled life. Our vision is to put an end to homelessness and suicide that seems to be prevalent among our veterans. Our mission is to remember, honor, and serve our veterans and their families. Who we are is warriors serving warriors, and we are comprised of veterans of our U.S. military with a variety of backgrounds and professions. Although we are a veterans group of Legacy Church here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we accept vets from other churches and denominations. What we do is actively seek veterans who would like to be a part of our elite Christian group and share our desires to help and equip other veterans who are in need of assistance. We help other veterans who are in need of assistance with their transition to civilian life or have spiritual, physical, or emotional needs. We are currently proudly serving veterans in the Albuquerque metro area with future plans of expanding throughout the whole state of New Mexico. We meet every month to execute and strategically plan to reach our veteran community with the slogan, No Man Left Behind, giving them direction and or referring them to someone that could help them better their lives. If you know someone or are a vet yourselves, give us a call at 505-302-1999 or go to warriorservingwarriors.org. You can also email us at wswnmvets@gmail.com. That's Warriors Serving Warriors. Give us a call or join today.
Black by Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right, too, when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us, too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are, too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins. Just couldn't resist that one. It was a song that my mom and my dad used to play all the time when I was growing up. Cattle Call by Eddie Arnold. It's an old one. I found it in a record shop this last week, and the record is immaculate. It has no scratches on it at all. It was really great to get, and because of with the turntable connected right into the computer, it's really easy to make bumper music out of what I've got. But we are back. Dr. Naomi Wolf uncovers Pfizer's depopulation agenda as evidenced by its own documents. And this was written by in the Vigilant Fox. And it starts out with a quote by Dr. Naomi Wolf. It says, "This is a mystery novel in which the question is, how do we stop women from having healthy babies?" That's the story of the Pfizer documents. These people, the powers that be, don't want us to be self-sustaining, concluded Dr. Naomi Wolf in front of a live audience at the recent VAC family event. They want us to be dependent and scared. What self-sustaining quality are they targeting the most? Our ability to reproduce, attests Dr. Wolf. One thing people have been able to do for thousands of years is to have sex and have babies without any intervention or help from anyone else. It's a tremendous way that the human race is self-reliant, that it can survive catastrophe. Well, the tech brothers and probably China want to take that away from us. This is clear in the Pfizer documents. There's a section of the Pfizer documents in which Pfizer breaks down the adverse events and concludes that women sustain 72% of them, she concluded. And of those, and these are Pfizer's words, 16% are quote unquote reproductive disorders compared to 0.49% for men. So they are very focused on reproduction, on female reproduction. She says, it is my belief that they were trying to disrupt especially female reproduction. And the question is, how do I know that? And the answer is from the structure of what they looked at. Again, I'm a literary critic, but this is a mystery novel in which the question is, how do we stop women from having healthy babies? And as a woman, she says, this is one of the most painful things to see. And she says she's Jewish. And my grandmother lost 9 brothers and sisters in the Holocaust. So I don't say this lightly, but this chart is a Mengele-style chart. It's Mengele science. And she goes on. Why is it Mengele science, she asks? Because they break down 20 different horrible things that can happen to women's menstruation. Here's a fraction of the 20-something different ways Pfizer admits the mRNA jab can dysregulate or affect women's reproductive health. Heavy menstrual bleeding, 27,685 cases. Menstrual disorder, pain, heavy bleeding, or absence of menstruation, 22,145 cases. Menstruation irregular or irregular cycle lengths, 15,083. Menstruation delayed, 13,989 cases. Dysmenorrhea, pain during menstruation, 13,904. Intermenstrual bleeding in between periods, 12,424. Anamorrhea, I guess that's how it says, or absence of period, 11,363. Polymenorrhea, or multiple periods, 9,546 cases. Vaginal hemorrhage, excessive bleeding of the female reproductive system, 4,699 cases. And it goes on. She says, and they, Pfizer, just note them calmly, one by one by one. There's also a group in France called We Ast Mon Cycle, which translates to Where Is My Cycle? Dr. Wolf detailed super strange things within Pfizer documents, such as 10-year-old girls menstruating on first being injected and long postmenopausal women in their 80s and 90s bleeding again after being injected. It wasn't enough for Pfizer to watch women be ruined, she asserted. Again, I keep saying this is a respiratory pathogen. Why are they so focused on sex? At one point, they mate vaccinated male rats, unvaccinated female rats. Then they kill them and they dissect them and look at the cells of their sexual organs. Okay, so they're very, very focused on mammalian sexuality. Why? They are working to depopulate the world. That's all that this vaccine or this these vaxes that they're trying to, and they're still pushing them on TV, folks. They're still pushing them. And think for yourself, said, I just heard Jamie Foxx has gone paralyzed and blind because of the vaccine. The vaccine resulted in a blood clot in his brain that led to these terrifying health complications. Yeah, this is something that back in the 1920s, they had a vaccine that they tried out then. 20 people nationwide got sick. I think 20 people died. And they shut the whole thing down. They stopped it because the death rate was too high. How many people have died because of the vaccine for COVID? A hell of a lot more than 20. I guarantee you that. And they're still going. They're still pushing it on TV. Here in New Mexico, that's one of the things they're saying. If you're healthy now, make sure you stay that way. Get the new updated COVID vaccine. Why? COVID's over. At least so the government says. At least so MLG says here in New Mexico. It's over. But they're still pushing the vaccine, which is nothing more than gene therapy, folks. I've said this before. I've said this quite a few times. But she goes, Dr. Wolf goes on to say, now it's 2023. Mourned Dr. Wolf as those fertility problems have come to fruition. Igor Chudov compared databases in countries around the world. There are a million missing babies in Europe. They never got born. There are double the number of miscarriages and spontaneous abortions in Scotland, and a 13% to 20% drop in live births around the world. There are two or three times the number of spontaneous abortions and miscarriages in Tel Aviv as before, and so on around the world. And now we know why. Now we know the mechanism. It's not just an attack on us. It's not just mass murder, which is the language that Ofcom objected to, but it's an existential attack.
and think about it chronologically, I'm very worried that a source in Britain said that they wanted to embargo this information for 20 years. Because I'm like, what do they expect to have happen in 20 years? They don't know, folks. Most vaccines, when they come out with a vaccine, has a life of being tested and grouped and tried and just plain tested for 15 to 20 years so they can find out what the long-term effects are. They don't have that with this one. They don't have that with this one. So they don't know what's coming in 20 years. Do you? But she continued and said, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. We've got a report, and this is at Daily Clout War Room Volunteers, got a report on turbo cancers. We've got a report on strokes. We've got a report on liver damage, kidney damage. She said, I don't want to depress you, but all around you are people who are suffering from illnesses. None of their doctors are telling them that these illnesses are in the Pfizer documents as side effects and that we now understand the mechanisms of them. And if you want to know what's happening to your loved ones, please read the reports on dailyclout.io, urged Dr. Wolf. She says they're free, or order the book, please, as all of the evidence right there. And it's all around you, all around me. There are people suffering and dying from side effects that are in these documents, and they knew about them. They knew about them, folks. No, don't. Even though they say they didn't. So this kind of thing leaves me speechless. It makes it hard to think that there are people evil enough to do this kind of thing. And think for yourself, says population control by the cities is a real thing. Yeah. I agree. It is. If you look at the cities all around this nation, and it can be any of them, Albuquerque, L.A., New York, Chicago. Chicago's a good one. They got population control going there every weekend. Over the Memorial Day weekend, how many people were shot? How many people were killed? And it seems like it happens every weekend, but they never talk about anybody being arrested for it. They never talk about anybody being detained for it. Well, they may talk about somebody being detained, but that's all you ever hear. Oh, this person was detained for the shooting. Well, what happens to him after that? We don't know because they don't tell us. I don't know of anybody who lives in Chicago, so I can't go to them and say, hey, what happens to these people? Because I don't know. I have no clue. I know people who live in the streets here in Albuquerque. And all you have to do is just drive down the streets, down Central, and you see them. They're all over the place. There's tents all over in parking lots, everywhere, beside stores, on the sidewalks. People in the middle of the street on the medians, where it's actually supposed to be illegal to be, standing there begging for money. Now, it's like I said before, you go 20 miles to the west and a little bit to the north, you run into Rio Rancho, which is a different city. But it's not like Albuquerque. Albuquerque is a liberal bastion right now. We have a mayor who has absolutely done nothing for the good of this city. And this last week, he just announced that he's going to be running for his third term. God help us if he wins it. but he shouldn't have won the second term because he had so many good people against him, running against him, that would have done far better for this city than he has. But he won. 56% he won. And on that, I blame the people, because they're not watching what's going on. They're not realizing what's going on is the cause of the leadership. And you can tell it, just go to Rio Rancho. None of this is happening there. Homelessness is not allowed. You cannot go onto the streets and live on the streets. They don't allow that. There's places for them to go if they want to. There's places for them to stay, shelters that they can go to there if they want to. But they don't. They come to Albuquerque because they can live on the streets and they can beg from people driving by. And I have mentioned this before. The neighborhood that I lived in when I was growing up 35 years ago was a great neighborhood. You could walk around that neighborhood day or night. It didn't matter if you, like at midnight, you could walk down the street, go to Safeway, which has since been closed, go there, buy something, go across the street, go to a bar, have a few drinks, and walk home. Nothing would ever happen to you. Try something like that today, and you would end up in a cemetery. And that's probably about a 90% chance. They don't call that the war zone anymore for no reason at all. And it's all because of liberal policies. And these liberals who are causing all of this are saying that it's the Republicans and the people who want to push the laws and make sure that the laws are followed. They're the ones who are the trouble. They're the ones who are going to cause all of the problems. No, they're not. The ones that are causing the problems are the ones who are ignoring our laws. The ones that are causing the problems are the ones who are ignoring all the other things that they should be seeing. I see Pionki is on the air. Hello. Well, I just tried to click on that and it didn't turn it on. Okay, there. Hello, Pionki. How are you?
Hey, look. I want you to keep up with this, what I'm getting ready to say. Now, you were talking about Chicago. I've been keeping track of the murders and shootings in Chicago for the last 3 years, ending in Memorial Day weekend. So it was from Memorial Day weekend to Memorial Day weekend, 22, 21, and 20. And it just ended this past week. Now, let me give you the numbers. This past year, you had about 5,700 shot, and you had about 575 murders. The previous year, you had 661 murders with 4,666 shot. And the first time I started keeping, you had 4,875 shot, 745 murders. In all those 3 years, guess what? No white police officer shot nobody. Now, let's look at this. Harvard University and some other private universities come up with these diversity schemes, and they do it with the admission test, the ACT or the SAT. Now, check this out. Before this child even sit down, he is spotted 310 points. That's the black child. The Hispanic child is spotted about 270 points. The white child, zero. And the Asian child is negative 110. Otherwise, they have to make up 110 point ground before they start being counted. Now, this is in Harvard. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, check this out. Lori Lightfoot, who was the mayor of Chicago, and I just gave you statistics on their shooting, she has been hired by Harvard.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That one I didn't know.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You see the connection? Let me give you another connection. Back in 2000 at Tufts College up there, I think it's in Massachusetts, one Saturday weekend, I think it was in December, they had children from public schools bust in for workshop seminars. And it was put on by a company called Glensen, G-L-S-E-N, headed by a man by the name of Kevin Jennings. Kevin Jennings will become the educational czar for the Obama administration. Now, you know what the topic was at the workshop? It was called the Fist Gate, Fist like on your hand, Gate like on a fence conference. You can Google it. It's called Fist Gate Incident. And children as young as 12 was brought in, and some of the workshop topics were fisting, like putting your fist up someone's vagina or anus, and should I swallow or spit it out, amongst other things like dildos.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's fast forward. The vice president for Target marketing, guess what? He sits on the board at Glensen. And Target has been giving donation to Glensen in the millions. And Target is under the fire about having genderless bathrooms in their public stores. You see how all these things are starting to come together?
Yep. I've been watching it myself.
Yeah. And people think that we're just talking a bunch of conspiracy stuff. But see, when they start getting desperate, they get loose and careless. And the thing about it, it's coming so quick, one after the other. You know, I was supposed to have been dead. I wasn't supposed to remember the Fist Gate Conference. But they at the door with it and other things with kids. They're after the kids. They're after the babies. You ask where all those babies? Well, I don't know where they went. But I tell you one thing, they're after them. Go ahead.
Well, when I was when Target came out with that whole thing, I remember when they came out with genderless bathrooms. They still had in the stores bathrooms for men and bathrooms for women, but anybody could go into them. And I remember getting yelled at one day because my girls at the time were like 16 and 14, something like that. They would go to the bathroom, and I'd stand at the door. Make sure no guy went in there. And I had a couple of people get mad at me for that. And I said, I don't give a damn. You're not walking some dude into that bathroom when my girls are in there.
Well, you know, you did the right thing. And like you just got through commenting on, people have gotten mad with you. Now, you got to ask yourself, what the heck is wrong with people? Because if we look back, say 40 years ago, the things that we're seeing today, could you have ever imagined that this would be topics of conversation?
No, I mean, I remember one time that I was at the Four Seasons Motor Inn here in Albuquerque. I was still working there, so it was back in the late 70s. And I had gone in because I was working in the bar that night to run the spotlight for the group that was in there. And I had to go to the bathroom. So I went in there. And when I was in there, some girl walked in and she was drunk. And I just, some guy just walked in, led her right back out and led her to the right bathroom. But it was just it was a weird thing back then. But nowadays it's like, I think it's something like about 25% of millennials don't care anymore. They
well, you know, did you mention Four Seasons?
Yeah, Four Seasons Motor Inn.
Oh, baby, let me tell you about them. Are you in Texas?
No, I'm in New Mexico.
All right, well, let me tell you about Four Seasons.
And Four Seasons is no longer here, by the way.
Well, they was over there in Texas when this happened. You know, the president of Uganda, Muriel Museveni, Uganda got some of the strictest anti-homosexual laws in the world. They always complaining about they will put you to death.
Yeah.
Okay. The president of Uganda and his entourage was coming to Texas for a meeting. And they had booked rooms at Four Seasons Hotel. The homosexuals there got wind of it, and they went to the management, and they canceled his rooms.
Oh, boy.
This is true. And he had to go stay at a hotel called Howdy there in Dallas. But these people are all over the place, and they pulled. Oh, wait a minute. Let me tell you about another thing. You had a restaurant someplace, and I think this was in New York, and you had a Christian group booked a spot at the restaurant. Okay? Night come for them to show up and have their dinner meeting. They get there, and the owners say, well, we can't let you in. And they ask why. Because we have homosexuals working for us, and they don't feel safe or comfortable around the Christians. So they couldn't stay in there. This stuff goes on.
And they can't consider that discrimination, because if they do, that makes them even worse.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Christians. See, if you pay attention. You pay attention to this, and you don't even have to open your mouth. Just be quiet and observe. And you see how this stuff is all shaken up, who the names are, the organizations are, and how it keeps playing out, and what their ultimate goal is. I've watched these videos of parents going to these school board meetings and presenting books out of the library with all these sexual explicit images. I tell you what, when I was a kid and I tried to order a girly magazine through the mail, the Postmaster General in my city would confiscate it.
Oh, yeah.
Back then
it was harder than heck for anybody under 21 to get an image of a woman naked.
Now
it's in the school's libraries.
It's in the school library, and they're showing all sorts of things, and the language, the text that's going with these images and descriptions and so forth, is just deplorable. And the teachers don't believe, and even the superintendent, because I think it was in Iowa, I'm not sure in which state, they passed the law that the school board district has to report to the parents when the students start talking about that sort of status with them, gender changing. Superintendent said they ain't gonna follow the law because they think it's endangering the child for the parents to know.
Yeah, I was watching some of that, and I'm just so glad that all of my kids that I actually had myself were out of school by the time all this started.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm over in Louisiana, and I'm with COS, and COS will support politicians' bills when they think it's in the best interest of the idea of convention of states. And we've been supporting some of the local legislature. And just this past week, they passed a bill that prevents children under 18 from undergoing those transformation surgeries and receiving puberty-altering drugs. And the reason why is because Mississippi, Alabama, and I think Georgia has that ban on that, and what people were doing is coming over here to Louisiana. So they stopped it. I also passed a bill that's pending about putting Bible studies, making them available for students that want to have them, putting God We Trust and God We Trust in buildings. And giving parents back the fundamental right over the determination of what goes on with their child. Now, who in the heck could go against something like all those?
I know I couldn't. You know, it's like I've talked to you, a lot, actually in length, about what's going on here in New Mexico, where the southern communities are actually conservative, and they have become sanctuary cities against abortion. And our governor was really happy when it was just down south. And a couple of weeks ago, we had a town called Edgewood, which is just east here of Albuquerque, that became one. We've got Grants, New Mexico right now, which is on the other side of Albuquerque, almost directly west of us, that's considering that now. So it's moving up. And our governor does not like that. She's one of these evil people.
Yeah, she put a abortion clinic right there on the border of New Mexico and Texas, so people coming out of New Mexico can have access to get abortion.
Yeah, and what's going on with that one there is that was in Lee County. Well, Lee County declared themselves an abortion-free county, and the governor came after them for that. So they're fighting that battle now. And it's amazing. I think I've got Sarge on the line here. Let's see if I can get him on here. Hello.
Oh man, it's a great conversation you guys are having. I've been doing other things out of the room, just listening to you guys for the most part. I appreciate all the contributions, but I have a couple of random thoughts I'd like to add to the mix, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Well, first of all, I already talked to Brother Pianchi about this earlier today, but I'd now like to submit the question to you, and that is, who in the news has now become a leading proponent in the fight for firearms liberties and new groundbreaking firearms Second Amendment jurisprudence?
Here in New Mexico, I'm not exactly sure, because the only things that they've shown lately, because I watch Newsmax.
Well, you know this person immediately when I tell you.
Oh, I probably would, but they've been showing things about Charlton Heston.
Oh, well, he was always a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm talking about somebody who you would never imagine as being so.
I couldn't even venture a guess, actually.
All right, well, enough teasing you, okay? Excuse me, I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist it. But it is one Hunter J. Biden.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, his lawyers are actually advocating that to charge him for lying on a federal form 4473 of being a person involved in mental and drug addiction treatment at the time he is seeking to buy a firearm is a infringement upon his Second Amendment rights. And you know what? Under most circumstances, if you absent the name Hunter Biden from it, I would have to agree with that as a general rule. But strictly speaking, that isn't what the case is all about against him. In his case, it's about lying on a federal form 4473.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to have someone take up the cause of, the Second Amendment and whether or not just because you simply use drugs means you shouldn't be allowed to use a firearm. Now, I knew a couple guys in Nam who were heroin addicted, and they were pretty handy with their firearms. They knew they had to get treatment. They had gotten addicted while they were over there. And while they were over there, they eventually did turn themselves in to get treatment. But it didn't seem to overly affect their ability to use their firearms in firefights against the North Vietnamese Army.
Yeah.
So I can understand the argument that one does not necessarily follow the other. But nonetheless, you know, I find it intriguing and all too ironic in the absolutely unself-aware world of Democrats and liberals, absolutely unself-aware, when they do the things they do, that never cease to astonish me. I mean, you have to ask yourself, how can these people cross the street? They must think they can't get hurt by cars if they fail to look both ways.
Yeah, and you know, there was a new one that came out the other day, and I mentioned this in one of my updates, where the FBI has now concluded that Joe Biden has taken bribes and things like that while he was vice president, which puts him in the spotlight of all of criminality. And one of the first things I thought of on that was that they've got to get the attention off of Joe Biden. So what's going to happen is there's going to be a new indictment against Trump. Somewhere along the line, there's going to be another indictment against him, because they think that that'll be more important than taking down Biden. And I think,
yeah,
I've got Joe from Montana on the line too, so.
Yeah. Oh, I got another thing I'd like to add to you for a couple, just a couple other impressions just to kind of kick around in the mix here.
Okay.
And the other one I got is that, now I saw, I used to think that Chick-fil-A was fairly religious and moral and all that, and they were kind of upholders against the general woke fanaticism that's going on today. But I saw the chief executive officer of Chick-fil-A. I don't know how long ago this thing was recorded, but he gave a interview in which he was speaking about how humility is important to racial reconciliation and understanding. He was explaining how in his personal life he was intervening to show his humility and, I don't know, contrition toward people who were black that he believed had been mistreated and all that sort of thing. And, you know, it wasn't all that unconventional for, you know, what you expect from a dedicated Christian. Then all of a sudden it became cringeworthy and bizarre. Because in the middle of the interview, he got up with a shoe brush in his hand, and he went over to another black participant in an interview. I think it was an athlete. I'm not sure. But then he offered to shine his shoes I'm not kidding. He offered to shine his shoes and said that doing things like this will show black people that we are, in fact, ready to offer our regrets for the racial harms done to them. Now, I haven't cringed quite this much, I don't believe, in my memory. To see this man debase himself in this manner was very disturbing. And I got to thinking about it, and I said to myself, now, wait a minute now. Now, this might lead to a new demand from the reparationists. They might decide that it is going to be another demand of their reparations deal, that the man that every white person carry around a shoe shine kit, so that upon demand of a black person, they immediately drop to their knees and give them a shoe shine. I mean, why not? I mean, after all, you know, I mean, when you ask for $5 million for something you never experienced, why would this request be so absurd?
Yeah.
I mean, just like I said, if you can go find it on the web, it's really cringeworthy. I mean, I cannot recall seeing somebody almost saying to myself, we need to set up a new elite class of people in the United States, almost like kings, I guess. I mean, I understand the foot-washing thing, you know, like when the Pope washes the feet of other people, but he's a religious leader, you know what I mean? And he's doing it in the spirit of what Jesus Christ did. But this guy is a CEO, and he's talking about it like it's something that should be generally exported to the population. And finally,
well, you know, you got to ask yourself.
There's one more thing I'd like to bring up, too.
You got to ask yourself, what in the hell is wrong with white folks? I ain't
some
never
white,
a lot
of
seen
things.
So many
crazy-ass
white folks in all my life. I ain't never seen so many of them in all my life. What's going on with
I don't know, man.
Folks?
It's guilt, man. Guilt is a powerful thing. And you got to remember the way a lot of white people are getting indoctrinated is by these damn neo-Marxists, man. I mean, they're making them go crazy. And in fact, speaking of going crazy, that brings me to my next point. And this will be the last thing I want to bring up for more fodder for thought here with you fine gentlemen. And that is, there's now a confirmed peer-reviewed research done by researchers in Bern, Switzerland, named Alex Bertrams and Ann Crispence. And they found that many activists do not believe in what they support to stand for, and they are simply using the cause to prop up their own perceived moral superiority and social standing. And it goes on even further to make the assertion that based upon existing research, we expect the individual with higher levels of left-wing authoritarianism to also report higher levels of narcissism. And further, it says, according to this principle, individuals with dark personalities, such as high narcissistic and psychopathic traits, are attracted to certain forms of political and social activism, which they can use as a vehicle to satisfy their own ego-focused needs instead of actually aiming at social justice and equality. And I said to myself, this totally lines up with exactly what I've been seeing for years. And finally, this was the money shot for me. In particular, certain forms of activism might provide them with opportunities for positive self-presentation and displays of moral superiority to gain social status, to dominate others, and to engage in social conflicts and aggression to satisfy their need for thrill-seeking. Hence, this explains environmentalists who come in and hector us to no end about our carbon footprints while they engage in luxury flights on private jets and on airliners to the far ends of the earth so they can get social standing and Twitter tweets and all this for their insane virtue signaling. It all makes sense.
There was no better example of what you just talked about than that stupid thing in Davos, Switzerland, where they all flew over there to tell everyone else that the carbon footprint has to be reduced or we're going to destroy this world.
Yeah.
And there was some research that just came out recently that said that that's a scam, well, which we all knew about anyway.
Yeah.
Hello, Sarge. Hello, Bod.
Hello, Joe. How dost thou beest?
Yeah, not bad. I misspelled your name, Bob, in the email. Did you read the last, I said,
that
hey,
must have been difficult. How'd you manage to pull that one off? You misspelled Bob?
I misspelled Bob. I put a D in there instead of a B.
Man, you need to go in the record books.
Don't I, though? So, but in any case, the National Conservation Media Network is being expanded by proxy because on Sunday, I'm going to get into a practice debate with Joe Gibson, who is on another show. But everybody will know, it's the combination of Conservative Nation Media plus Laurie Ann's show, which is she's an independent person doing on her own time, her own dime. So it'll start at 9:30 and... And I'm sure, because I just suggested to Lori that she will have an interview with Joe as a potential candidate for North Carolina, and she'll probably keep him on for at least an hour and a half, 2 hours. So that's that. And what else did I have anything to say? No, I don't have anything to say. I just thought I'd let Sarge, be quick.
Yeah, Joe, I got to your show this Wednesday, but I got there just as it was ending, so I missed it again.
Oh, again. All right. Well, this show wasn't too bad. Yeah, actually, Sarge and Joe Gibson gave me some compliments about the show because I was thinking that I was I might have been offensive towards the callers that were there, but then I also made up my mind to be even more of a dictatorial entity the next time because I didn't think that some people were giving short enough answers or giving relevant enough answers. But after having been told by both Sarge and Joe that it was okay, then I feel better about the style and protocol and to the degree of which that I was using. So I hope that you checked out last show when you had the chance to download. And this show, the next show, it's going to be about relationship counselors. Oh, okay. So that's it. Me.
Well,
from me.
I saw it, but they didn't, so you can go ahead and talk about it.
Oh, I hope they do. There's about six, half dozen of them that come on Blog Talk Radio every once in a while.
Yep. Well, I'm glad you showed up tonight because I did get there this last week. They still had a thing going on in the chat room, but the show was over.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
But I tried to get there. I I got there just a little bit too late. You had already ended the show, so I was kind of sad about that one because I missed it, I think, 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, well, the show ended me. My app, and I'm surprised it lasted as long as using my app doesn't let me stay on a show for longer than about an hour and 47 minutes. But this time it allowed me to stay on a show for about 2 hours, and then it cut me off while everybody else was still on the show. So, and then they got into the overtime hour, and I wasn't in there because I got cut off. What I'm going to have to do is before like an hour and 47 minutes, I'm going to have to call back in and refresh it so that I'll have another an hour and 47 minutes left after that.
Well, what I found out that is if I'm only going to have a 1 hour show, which it happens every once in a while, I'll schedule it for 2 hours, and that way if something happens and it does go over, then I'm still there. So.
Well, I didn't want to do that because it's not, you know, it's your network. And
no, you can do it.
To me, I don't want to be on for more than 2 hours anyway.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to do 3 hour shows, and of course, once I get into that third hour, then everything in the chat room stops working, and everything in my studio stops working. So there's nothing I can do, and I can't really end the show because there's no the end episode is gone. So I have to kind of just go out of the studio and see if that works. And the first week it didn't. It went on for about another 15 minutes or so, and there was nothing there but dead silence.
Yeah. So if I extend the show for 90 minutes, that's okay with you? Because Laurie wants to do it for 90 minutes. I don't want to do it, but okay. So in case I do it, it's okay? All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well,
I'm done. Yeah. I'm done.
and by the way, Joe, I mean, I understand your desire to make sure that things don't get obstreperous and out of control, particularly since I might be participating, because let's face it, I've been in some real Donnybrooks on a Vlog Talk. But you got to realize, I'm not the kind of guy to sit back and take things lightly when I get attacked. I've never been a pacifist. I mean, when they come on with me and out of band by Marquis of Queensberry rules, I figure all bets are off. Time to bring out trench knives, bayonets, entrenching tools, headbutt, bite, whatever you got to do, because they're not playing by the rules.
And
when people play by the
too.
Rules, I stick by the Marquis of Queensberry rules because I understand rules very well. And I'm fully prepared to acquiesce to rules when everybody observes them. So I got no problem with that whatsoever. Never have.
But I also notice you're right, because you do abide by the Marquis of Queensberry rules. You don't fight unfair while they're screaming and yelling obscenities and all of that. However, at the same time, as I've said, my show is going to be a sanctuary. Anybody that comes on, even gives an inkling that they're going to attack any of the guests on the show. Okay, because I've also been the object of derision of people following me around and just wanting to start trouble. At the beginning, it was fun. But after about, I engaged in one hour fight, then I engaged in a 45-minute fight. After those two episodes, I said, forget it. I don't want to, you know, you win. I don't care. You win. I don't want to be bothered with that. And then somebody actually put up a show for an hour just to disparage me. You know? So they can do it. Not a problem.
Yeah, I love to participate in a conversation even when people don't agree with me. I really like it when they don't agree because it helps me to focus my arguments and strengthen them, or to agree with them and say, well, you got me there, you got a point. So, I mean, and when that is prevented from occurring, there's really no point in trying to keep a conversation going.
Precisely. That's one of the reasons why I don't want it. Secondly, you have been the object of people's scorn and hatred and derision and a target for stupid lies and any kind of unimaginative statements that they want to make about you over the years. Now, if you don't mind, that's fine. But I don't want to be bothered with it. I don't think you want to be bothered with it every time. And even so, there are other people on the show. We had 7 people, Bob, on the show besides myself and Lloyd. It's 9 people. So that's a menagerie all by itself.
I noticed there was quite a few people in that in the chat room when I showed up, I had somebody came in with area code 407 just a few seconds ago and had that little hand up, so I went and clicked on it and hand disappeared. So I'm not sure if they wanted to be on here or not, but I let them in anyway.
Well, I know 407. I know that area code. I know who it is.
Yeah, well, I've got them on the phone if they want to talk.
Okay. I know who it is, I think.
Hey, Sarge.
Hello.
Hello.
Valerie didn't have a show today because she had it yesterday.
Oh, okay. I started one. That must have been the reason. Okay. Okay.
She had over 330,000 listeners.
Right. I know. She's doing good. She's expanding her audience quite with a great deal of alacrity. I got to give it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I told Vincent, I told you, he said he was working. I had another person in New York. They wanted to come on, and Congressman Andrew Jones, he'd probably come back again if she has something like that.
Well, that's all I was hoping. Eric would come on. Eric would come on. Joe would come on. Lori would come on. Vince, all those guys would come on because they could plug the shows and maybe reach more people. It's kind of like nuclear fission, you know, your chain reaction kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
No,
You were talking about having a congressman on your show.
We had one on yesterday.
Yeah, I'm right now in the process of talking with Yvette Harrell, who is a ex-Congress lady from here in New Mexico who got jilted out of her thing because the Democrats decided to reschedule the map and took her section and added a complete section up along the side of New Mexico that was all Democrat, and she just barely lost, but she's running again, so I'm trying to get her on this show, and I've actually got her recording for me the third hour intro for this show now, so it's I'm looking to have Yvette Harrell on here one of these days, which to me is really cool.
Well, if you can make it Sunday at 9:30, I'll be grilling Joe Gibson. And the reason why is to give people an example of how you should grill every candidate who runs for office, candidate, Democratic, Republican, Libertarian, so that you can actually get some commitments out of them about what they're going to do in the first 2 weeks to a month. And if they don't do those commitments, then they have to agree that a petition can be signed to get rid of them. Now, the petition may or may not get rid of them, but they're making a public record that, yes, I am beholden to the people, and I will do what they want. And if I don't do what they want, then I am a public liar. So I'm hoping.
So that'll be Sunday at 9 p.m., right?
Sunday at 9. Well, at 9 p.m., the show starts at 9:30. I'll be grilling him.
Okay, I got that written down, so I can hopefully be there. That would be awesome.
And that way you can have you can have an idea of what you might want to do with the congresswoman if she wants to come on your show.
Yeah.
Too many times talk show hosts give these candidates a pass because they don't want to offend them. They don't want to offend authors. They don't want to offend athletes. Fuck that. They are there to help us. They are there, as far as I'm concerned, any candidate is a potential enemy. And we have to treat them that way. And we have to get answers from them, commitments for them to do something worthwhile. Now, as freshmen, they don't have much power. But they do have some freedom to fight corruption in a certain way by using the media, by getting commitments from their fellow congressmen. So if they don't agree to do that, they shouldn't be there, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and that's absolutely the truth. I mean, most of them have forgotten the idea that they are there to work for us, not have them as our bosses. That's not the way it was set up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way they look at it anymore. It's, the people are the peons. They're the ones who are up in power in the ivory towers, so they're the ones who are in charge. No, that's not the way that it's supposed to work.
Well, in theory, no. But if they're the ones that make laws, they're in charge. They have the enforcement agencies on their side. They're in charge. And we have to realize that and do something about it.
Well, that's one of the things I've been talking about lately, you know, because we're allowing this to go on. And when it comes to all of this, I'm actually blaming the people for allowing it to happen, because we could shut it down if we wanted to, but it's just most people don't. They want the status quo to continue.
Yeah. I have a different attitude about that. I believe the brainwashing ever since the communists and the Marxists have entangled us with their tentacles of corruption. Through brainwashing, incrementalism, and the boiling frog syndrome, they've pretty well brainwashed American people. If we weren't brainwashed, and if we still had the same attitude, frontier spirit of the 1800s, right? They never would have succeeded at all. But the Marxists are smart through incrementalism, through the school system, through corrupt officials. Yeah. They brainwashed us. So I don't blame the American people. I know that we should do something, of course, but most people they're not going to believe that their officials are that corrupt. Just as simple as that.
Well, it's just one of the things that was really funny is the other day during that New York Post reporter actually came out and asked me, what do you think about Biden being corrupt? it was just amazingly funny to see how that just stalked him. He had nothing to say for a little bit, and it was great to see.
Well, I'm surprised at the reporters now that they have at the White House.
But you have seen the latest come out about this scandal, haven't you, about the FD Form 1023 and the fact that Chuck Grassley says he's seen the form, and it does indeed verify that an individual spoke about great specificity with regard to the bribery scheme that Biden was engaged in. The FBI was aware of it, and they've been slow-walking the investigation ever since, apparently in an attempt to let the clock run out so the statute of limitations will toll out.
Yep.
It's all political theater. Even if they get rid of Biden, it's part of their plan anyway. Either they want Kyler in there, or maybe they want to give Hillary the apple again and tempt her to run and then pull away the opportunity like they've done in the past almost 20 years now against her, and then in order to make Trump win, because all of this is going to be create more sympathy for Trump.
Yeah. I actually agree with you on that one, because I don't think that is their intention. But that's what's happening.
I think it's, well, look, I think the Democrats and the Republicans are feathers, wings of the same vulture bird.
Yeah.
So I think they've both been corrupted by the communists, by the Rothschilds for decades. And, I personally am for Robert Kennedy Jr., but, and that'll be the first time I would have voted for a Democrat in over 40 years. But even he might be corrupt.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've listened to some of the things he's saying, and they aren't bad.
They're bad.
You know, but what JFK is saying, a lot of the things he's saying are not bad at all.
No, I mean, he's making some very great points, also I remember when he was host of the show of Talk America. He mentioned about 10 years ago that he thought at that time the Republicans were in control, and of course he was anti-Republican. He thought the Republicans, he mentioned, were 95% corrupt. But he also said that the Democrats, his party, at that time was 75% corrupt. So he's not exactly blind to the conditions of evil in both parties.
And that's the sad part about this whole thing, is there's so much evil happening right now that – and the people just don't seem to see it.
Well, I think we've all come to expect corruption from the political parties. That's nothing new. The question is always the degree at any particular time or place. But what is singularly disturbing right now is the fact that the bureaucratic apparatus of the federal government seems to be the political police arm of one particular party. And that is perhaps more disturbing than generalized corruption in both parties.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're talking about the Dems, but I maintain even if the Republicans were in control, even if they didn't do it exactly the same way as the Dems, they would find some way to oppress the American people, raise the debt limit. The debt would be past $21 trillion as it is now. They would still expand it to $30 trillion. It wouldn't matter. It just
doesn't
matter.
Yeah, we're talking about policies that are openly arrived at when you're talking about things like that. Even if they do it behind closed doors, eventually they got to come out in the open. Whatever they're going to vote on, it's got to be done openly on the floor of the House and or the Senate. What I'm talking about is lawfare waged on behalf of one political party against the other, where you take a look at the law and you don't apply it as equally as you do to the other side. In fact, you specifically take actions to prevent it being applied to one side of the political equation. That is infinitely more disturbing than the normal corruption that goes on with the parties.
Well, there was one thing that I noticed today was that the FBI has decided that Mike Pence didn't do anything wrong with the things that he did, and they were pretty much exactly the same thing as what happened with Trump. And they're saying now that there's a couple of people who have come out and said if Mike Pence was exonerated of this, then Trump should be too.
Well,
man,
why
look
not?
At all the places that Trump has got Biden's got classified material from when he was a senator. When
mm-hmm.
he had no business, he had no authority whatsoever to classify anything. And he's got it stacked up all over the place in multiple locations all over the country. To say
and
nothing when
run.
He was vice president, again, with no authority to classify anything. And Barack Obama hadn't said that the stuff he had in possession, that Obama declassified him. So he's got him with no basis whatsoever. Trump has the foundation of having been the president when he took those documents. And the inherent declassification authority, according to the Department of Navy versus Egan, Supreme Court ruling, is that the president has unilateral authority to decide what can be declassified, period.
Mm-hmm.
End of story.
Yep. And I've got.
But what about?
I got 407 on the line again.
Ooh, 407.
Yeah, 407's back on. He disappeared and he came back, put his hand up, so I'll put him back on there again.
There's another 407 I know of.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, this is Nathan in Orlando.
That might be it. Hello,
yeah.
Nathan.
Hey, the reason, even though Trump and Biden have the right to declassify and the vice president doesn't, the reason they're making Pence look like the nice, the good guy that did everything right, that's their way of gaining conscience and confidence in the people's minds. And,
mm-hmm.
But Pence is a snake. Mike Pence is a snake. He's got an abortion policy, and he stands out in front of the Bible thumpers talking about pro-life. So, and I'll tell you, if you guys can get your news from the vote record, you would just completely wipe all of them off. You know, and this guy that's running for president, Tim Scott, two months before the Ted Cruz filibuster, he wrote a letter to Obama, and I got a copy of it, explaining how it's going to be damaging to the economy and to the health care system. And then 2 months later, 100% of the Republican senators signed that letter. And then 2 months later, after Ted Cruz sent all-night filibuster, they voted 100-0 for it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But we're sitting here listening to them talk to our hearts and not to our minds. So
yep.
the Republicans are no good either. They're both one party that keeps me and you down here at the bottom divided.
Yeah, it is a uniparty. And don't forget, they made the claim when Obama was president about Obamacare, and they said, well, let's not vote on it. Let's make sure the Democrats get the blame. So no Republican voted for Obamacare. And then when Trump took office and he wanted Obamacare repealed, The Republicans, what do? Shit.
They didn't do a thing. Yeah, and it didn't matter that Obamacare was voted in by every Democrat, no Republicans, and 75%
right.
of the people didn't want it, but we still got it. And then when the Republicans
yep.
got back over, they didn't have the backbone to do what they said they were going to do.
Because they're just like what Nathan said.
Yep.
It's a uniparty. They're both
exactly.
correct.
They keep manipulating it so that me and you are fussing, Democrat and Republican are fussing, and they keep us divided. You know, whenever Ted Cruz is just evil, but when Marco Rubio and Val Demings did their primary debate, she's making the case for pro-abortion, and he said one time, I'm pro-life. I'm 100% pro-life, 100%. And he leaned forward with great emotion and says, I'm 100% pro-life. And I put a open letter and sent it out to a whole bunch of people with Marco Rubio's abortion record. So you know, it's the same thing. I can send it to you. Listen. He did the same thing with he kept sitting on the immigration issue as a state senator, and as soon as he got elected to go to Washington, D.C., he becomes a part of the Gang of Eight, and these guys are going to push us through. And it was Mel Martinez that was pushing through amnesty as a senator, mm-hmm. and we were burning the phone lines down. And yet we got a short memory. I don't have a short memory. I just don't vote for any Republican. I would never vote for a Democrat. I vote for citizen candidates that has a consistent resume. And I know they're never, ever going to get elected. I made it into one book. But other than that, I'm voting my conscience. There is no lesser of two evils. They are one party. And, you know, the Patriot Act, the Republicans ran against what Obama wants to do. And guess what? They got up there and they voted 100, well, it was 98. One was a no, and the other one was a present not voting. Same thing whenever that Planned Parenthood baby body parts broke in 2016. The Republicans mm-hmm. were out there saying, we need to defund Planned Parenthood. Well, first, it's a law. Title X is a law. Okay, they have to fund it. But they're yelling, we need to defund it. And then the guys that were up for running for office that 2016, they were a present not voting because there was something in the bill that they didn't like. You know, like they got real convictions. No, they're manipulating it.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
Listen, I don't want to interrupt your subject. I'm going to hang up. But listen, how did it work out on that Wednesday night show? Were y'all able to prove there was no God?
Oh, I didn't expect to change anybody's mind. I just wanted to do a logical explanation of it. And then maybe sometime in the future, some people might take a look at it and then reflect on it. Who knows? Maybe logic might win over. Who knows? Sometime.
Joseph Gibson just got in the chat room.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Nathan.
If you guys, if you guys ever do that subject on a Sunday or a Monday night, I can prove an atheist doesn't exist within a minute.
Okay.
Hey,
we're
going
to have
that's
a
why some of, that's why some
yeah,
of
I know what you mean, Nathan. I've been in a foxhole, too.
No, I bet Ace has got to say, how do you know if God doesn't exist, then how do you explain the universe? And I'll just say, I don't know. It's not up to me to know, but that doesn't mean that God exists simply because I don't know. That might be
then
your...
You're agnostic. Agnostic.
Well, I am agnostic, but I'm an atheist against the Judeo-Christian God of an all-merciful, all-good, all-loving God. Because that one particular word makes God non-existent. Now, if you want to say God is wrathful, yeah, but don't make him an all-loving, all-merciful God, because an all-merciful God would never create a hell. Never. That's my point.
Never.
Never. Not an all-merciful God, a sometime merciful God with wrathful interludes. Yeah. But don't make me believe there's an all-good, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-merciful God and then say, you're going to hell. And as George Carlin said, but I love you. Uh-huh. Well, in any case, I don't want to take up Bob's show with that point.
Yeah.
Okay. But,
if you ever do it on a Sunday or Monday night, I'd like to be a part of it.
Well, come on, Laurie Ann's show Sunday at 9 o'clock. We're going to have Joe Gibson on, myself. And, Joe, you don't know this, but you're going to be interviewed by Laurie. And then Nathan can come on and then ask and then prove that I'm an atheist or there's no such thing as an atheist, rather, in a minute. You too, Sergeant.
Yeah.
And you
okay.
too, Bob.
Anytime. Anytime.
No, I'll do my best to be there.
Okay.
Y'all
Joe doesn't know
night.
This, but thank you too. Joe doesn't know this, but he's going to be interviewed by Laurie. In addition to the debate, well, not the debate, but the practice grill, the practice debate that he and I will undergo.
Well,
so,
he probably knows it now because he's in the chat room.
He is. All right, Joe. All right. Well, look, I got to go. So you guys, you have a good night too, and be safe. And I'll see you when I see you. Take care now. Bye bye.
Have a good night. Okay. Yeah, it's like I said, we've got Joe in the chat room. No, he hasn't called in yet, but and everything's quiet. Just I had 323 just dropped and 407 just dropped. So now we've just got Pionki and Sarge here, and Joe in the chat room, of course. But one of the things that I had been looking at, and I've got to find the darned article that I had done on it. Now, remember how YouTube got rid of a whole bunch of people because they decided that they were didn't think that the 2020 election was fair. And how,
oh yeah, I did.
Well,
yeah.
There was one article I found today it was in the Western Journal. The headline of it was YouTube backs down in a big way on 2020 election misinformation, and it says that it's bringing back people that they got rid of. Well, one of the people they got rid of was me, and I'll wager anything that I won't be one of the ones brought back.
See how that works. See, while the iron is hot, they want to make sure nobody can strike. So they kick everybody off who's raising questions about this that can be examined while something could potentially be done about it, particularly the time between the certification of the election and after a few days after the actual polling at the ballots in that three-month interim. And now there's a flood tide of information out there that indicates there might have been a lot amiss about the election. It ain't got nothing to do with Dominion voting machines. It's got to do with alteration of election law. It's got to do with government bureaucrats up here putting their thumb on the scale, government agencies hiding things and information about candidates. It's got to do with, violation of election law and the Constitution and everything else. And all this information now is so overwhelming, they just can't ignore it. So now they got to kind of open it up a bit because they can't hold the floodgates back any longer. The water pressure's too high. And that's the way they always work. They wanted to make sure Joe got in. They wanted to make sure he was safely ensconced after he took the oath of office when court appeals would be essentially useless and moot. And they succeeded in that respect.
Yep, and one of the things
court appeals.
One of the things Joseph said in the chat room was that he said we need to stick together.
Well, there was no judge that was going to overturn the election. And this settlement between Dominion and Fox is a sham, too. Fox had to put up some defense. If not, their insurance company would not have covered the claim. Dominion got paid, and Dominion will take parts of that money and use it for campaign donation and continue to do what it did in 20,
in 2020. Was it 2020? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what's going to happen there.
Yeah, probably.
Bringing it, boys, as strength as in numbers.
Yeah.
And it's too late for people to be talking about coming together. The line's already been drawn.
Yep.
Sarge, you've been threatened. I know damn well you ain't coming together with these idiots that threaten you. I'm not.
No.
I don't care what happens. I don't care if I get presents under the Christmas tree. I ain't coming together with them. So the divisions have already been drawn.
I know. I hear it all the time. We need to come together. We need to find reconciliation. Look, you can do that with people who are amenable to reason. I mean, there's always mm-hmm. compromise we had on most things political, but not when things are fundamental. You know, like whether what makes a woman a woman. I don't know how you argue about that, or whether or not a killing a baby in the womb is ending human life. I mean, these issues are so fundamental, I don't see compromise on them. I can't. So I don't want to get together with people about whom argue about things that are basically fundamental and immutable and transcendently objectively truthful. I just can't see any way to reconcile with them. They either got to prevail or we got to prevail. I don't see any common ground on some issues. Tax rates, yeah. You know, whether mm-hmm. a man is a man and a woman is a woman, no. There is no in-between on this stuff. I'm not interested in reaching a compromise.
Yeah, and I've had a conversation with somebody here in Albuquerque the other day who said he was transitioning to a girl, and I says, no, you're not. You're never going to be a girl. I don't care how much you try. You're never going to be a girl. And he looked like he was about ready to slug me or something, but, you know, it's just – you got to tell the truth on these things.
Yeah. You got to be able to tell the truth about something. I mean, and this has been such a rejection of the truth. I mean, it is important to the cause of the progressive Marxist left that they be able to reject truth. They literally be able to will new realities. Because remember, mm-hmm. if they can make you believe that a man can be a woman, then they can literally make you believe anything. And
yep.
that's their objective. I mean, that's why they engage in newspeak. George Orwell, I thank God every day for George Orwell. George, if I only had one author to read to understand what's going on with today's leftists and progressives and neo-Marxists and Democratic Party, I'd tell them to read George Orwell's books. Animal Farm, 1984. Mm-hmm. Read those two. Yes. You got pretty much their whole bag. Everything. Everything essential you need to know about them is contained in those two books.
Yep. I'm writing that down.
And he wrote him in 1948. And he was on time perfect. Newspeak, Orwellian doublethink, you know, thought crime. I mean, it's all there.
Yeah.
In 1948, he had stuff figured out.
Yeah, and some people today still haven't figured it out.
Man, I'm telling you. It wasn't supposed to be an instruction manual. It was supposed to be... those were supposed to be cautionary tales, not instruction manuals. But the left is taking them as instruction manuals.
Yeah, well, I did a show. I think it was one of the weeks that neither you nor Pianki came in. Nobody came in, and I did the whole show myself. And one of the things I mentioned that these people like Richard Levine, he calls himself Rachel now, and... Leah Thomas, who, you know, I guess I can't remember what his name was anyway, but I said, it doesn't matter what they think they are. If they died today and they gave a DNA test on either one of them tomorrow, it would show they were a guy, not a woman.
If they found only their skeletal remains, they could tell that they were male.
Yep.
I mean, this is that basic. Doesn't matter what kind of cosmetic alterations you do to the outer physiognomy, the cellular structure, the very skeletal makeup and the geometry of the bones will tell you it's a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Or getting around it.
Yeah, and I say things like that, and bringing it, boy, tells me I got men in black coming to my door.
Are you sure they're men? Are you misgendering them, perhaps?
Probably. I don't know. It could be a woman in black, hard telling, or a thing. Could be a thing.
Yeah.
Anymore,
yeah.
You'd never know.
Yeah, pick the pronoun. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about the pronouns. If they were born a guy, they're always going to be a guy to me. So that's just the way it is.
I'm going to use the pronoun I think is most appropriate given upon what I see. That's what I'm going to use. Most appropriate to me. I don't care what they say. I'm going to use the pronoun I think is most appropriate. If you want to get offended, you can meet me out behind the gym at 4 o'clock. We can have it out. We can have discussion.
Absolutely. Yeah, it just blows me away, the things that they're getting away with nowadays. And, you know, when you have somebody who actually comes out and tells the truth about something, they get castigated as the bad guy. I don't know. I just it just blows me away. I just it wobbles the mind, as Kelly Bundy used to say.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it definitely boggles the mind because you know the benefit of living today and being alive today and seeing what's going around means that you cannot be bored. You may be dismayed, you may be occasionally shocked, but you are never bored by what's going on today. It's something every day. We are living in the most interesting of times.
Yep. Yeah, and that's one thing I used to tell my girls, you know, because they'd say, I'm bored. And I said, why? Life's too short to be bored. And they said, well, don't you ever get bored? I said, I've never been bored a day in my life. There's too much interesting stuff going on.
Yeah.
And, yep. You know, so it I guess it all depends on how you were raised, I suppose. Because I was raised that no matter what, there's always something there for you to that will pique your interest if you just look for it. And sometimes you don't even have to look. These days, you don't even have to look for it. It's there.
Well, I'm going to add an addendum that is the how you were raised. I think now the issue is more and more how you were indoctrinated, given the fact that public schools and certainly just about every conventional college and university in the country has now become an indoctrination center for the progressive left.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be how you were indoctrinated and who indoctrinated you.
Yep. Absolutely. And they get more and more studies out showing that the schools are actually doing that, and more people are going to private schools or Christian schools or being homeschooled than ever before. And it's like here in Albuquerque, they were talking about how Albuquerque schools get such a huge amount of taxes, but they're being able to distribute them to less and less students because the kids are not being taken to the school anymore. They're being taken somewhere else.
Yeah. Yep. That's for sure.
And this actually was a pretty good show. I enjoyed this one.
That's why there needs to be school choice.
Mm-hmm.
And vouchers, the money follows the child. That would begin to put a dagger in the back of them teachers' unions. St. Louis Public School District is down to about 19,299 students. I remember when it was well over 100,000. Can you imagine that a major city with only 19,000 students in its public school? Why? People left and taking them out. And the state of Missouri offer school choice with vouchers. Not as good as it should be, but it's better than nothing. But every dime that student will receive if they sat in that traditional seat should follow that student wherever he or she goes.
Yep, and bringing a boy says, if she can stand up, if she can piss her name on the wall standing up, I will still call her a sir. So, but I'm coming up on the end of the second hour now. And it sounds like we're running out of things to speak about. But
No, we're not. Just exhausting recounting them all.
Oh, absolutely. And every time we say, we're saying the same things. Yeah, I keep thinking, for a couple of years, I did shows where nobody ever called in, but I kept doing them. And now I'm getting 4, 5, 6 people calling in at the time, and it's really cool because that shows that I'm actually getting through to somebody, and other people are actually giving their ideas, which I love.
Man, thank goodness for your perseverance and your fortitude. You're exactly what we need. You guys like you are exactly what we need to prevail in this fight, and it's a fight, believe me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when I first joined Conservative Nation, it had been going for a couple of years. It was run by a couple of guys. Duke Brooks is one of them, and he's the guy who does my intro for my first hour. And then there was Michael Smith out of Texas, and they started Conservative Nation Media. And then when they decided to stop it, I said, well, why don't we just continue and go on? And he says, if you want it, you can have it. And I took it. So now I'm running with the thing that I joined in 2013. So it's actually pretty cool. It's, you know, now we've got 3 shows, you know, with Joe from Montana is on there on Wednesdays. And then, of course, you know, Vince is there on Saturdays. And we've actually got one other, but he's been on hiatus for a while. He's hopefully he'll come back, because that was Bing Fisher. He was one of the original people on Conservative Nation Media, and he does a show called American by Design, and he was doing it on Sundays. He hasn't done one in a while, but gotta see if I can get a hold of him and see if I can get him to come back. But everything seems to be working out really cool. I'm enjoying it.
That's outstanding. Outstanding. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. And so, but I'm glad you guys are coming in, and I'm having constant people coming in. I noticed Joseph was here. I was kind of surprised he didn't call in, but he probably just wanted to talk in the chat room. One of the things that I noticed tonight was that my chat room seems to be working, but I cannot reply in there. For some reason, it just, there's no cursor for me to reply, and I can't see anything. So it's been kind of weird for me tonight, but that's okay. They say something, I'll tell it. They'll hear it. But I'm glad you guys called tonight, because it made it an excellent show, and I'm really happy that you guys were here. And I think I'll go ahead and end it for now. But,
yeah, okay. Well, look, I'll catch you guys later on. See you later, Sarge.
Always good to hear from you. Keep up the good work. Keep up the networking. Man, it's going to be a tough uphill battle, but we got a possibility of changing this thing around. We just got to make people aware of all the misinformation, the real misinformation and disinformation that they're getting from almost every conceivable source that they regularly access.
Yep, and they do too. They, you know, it's like I do my show on Fridays, and then there's Vince on Saturday, and Joe has his on Wednesday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I do a daily update, kind of like Rush Limbaugh used to do. So, and I do that on Rumble and BitChute. So, I do this almost all week long, and it's fun.
Great.
But, I'm glad you guys were here. I'm glad you guys were here. God bless you guys. Have a great weekend, man.
Yeah, same to you, man. I appreciate all you do to enlighten people. Thanks a lot.
And I love it when you call in because you do just as much enlightening, if not more.
Well, you know, I've lived long enough to learn one or two things, and I think I ought to share it with other people.
Yeah, and that's where I'm looking at because I turned 70 this year, so I've lived long enough to see a bunch of stuff too. So
that's right.
I guess that experience helps.
Yeah, it helps you get a sense of perspective that a lot of people lack when they're younger, including me.
Yeah, I think I've always been kind of a conservative in my thinking, but I can remember back when I was younger, there was some things that I thought that I look back on now and say, why did you think that stuff? That's
man, I say that to myself almost all the time now because, man, I was a radical, man. I wanted to be a Black Panther.
Yeah?
Didn't quite get there, but I was really in league and sympathy with them. I understand how, that's why I understand how they think. I remember the way I used to be indoctrinated.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'm glad that you were here, Sarge, and Joseph, and bringing up Boy, and Joe from Montana, and Nathan from New Orleans, or Orleans, or whatever. That was a new one for me. I'd never had him call in before, but that was cool. I've got it all written down, so. But we had a good show, I think, and God bless you all, and hope you guys have a good weekend.
Same to you and your family. Give my regards to your family.
I sure will. Thank you. And you too. Give my regards to your family. I'll talk to you later, next week, I guess.
Till then.
Okay. Have a good weekend. And that was actually really a great show. I was good to see Sarge there. I was good to see Bianchi there. And Joe and Nathan and... Oh, heck, I've got them all written down here. Bringing It Boy was here. And Joseph is still in the chat room. So, but we will be back next week with another show. It's probably going to cover the same stuff as this week because all we have is just the same stuff over and over again. And the left just doesn't seem to understand that what they're doing is not right. And many on the right are doing exactly the same thing. There are a couple that are bucking the system, but we need many more of those that will buck the system and not do the wrong things and continue and try to do the right things. But we'll see you next week. God bless you. God bless you. God bless us, everyone. And have a great weekend. We'll be back next week with the next episode of NWCR Radio, where we work hard to let you know what America has in store and what the Constitution and our laws have to say about it. Stay tuned. God bless you all.